Good morning, folks. How are you today? Sun is shining. It's a little cool in the air. Snow's coming. Yay. Okay, maybe not. Well, I'm glad you're here. And a number of us, we spent the last couple of days up in Wisconsin at a couples retreat, and it was really good. This was the first time in 2 years that I took my wife with me. Only because last year it was canceled. We didn't go. And the year before that, I did go by myself, but she had to stay here to take care of her mom during that time. So I did take my wife with me this year, and it was beneficial. So we all had a great time. And if you missed it this year, I know we were thinking about those that have gone before and didn't go this year. You missed out, and you know what a good time it is. I would love to be able to just take several vehicles of people up there next year. It is just a really good time just to get away. No kids allowed. Yay. It was good. The food's good. The fellowship's good. And it's just a good time. So, but glad to be back. Glad to be here with all of you. And we have... speaking of couples, we have a couple of couples to recognize here this morning that have been a couple for, we'll just say, at least 50 years, okay? And that would be Joe and Cheryl Craigs, which I know are here this morning, and also Bill and Nancy Sheedy. So afterwards, Joe, Cheryl, you guys can come down and pick one of these bouquets to take home. Joe, if Cheryl had been in the nursery... you could just take it home and say, "Here, honey, look what I got you." Yes. Amen. Yes. And years from now, you may be able to do that and pull it off. I don't know. No, I'm digging a hole for myself here. I forget stuff too. Okay. But we're certainly excited for their commitment to each other. Let's go ahead and recognize them.
First of all, this week is an important week. I didn't know if you knew that, but Tuesday is election day. And do your job. As an American citizen, do your job. Go out and vote. And you know the best way to guard yourself against any virus that's out there, whether it be the flu, whether it be any of them, wash your hands. Just wash your hands with soap. That'd be great. You know, that is so important, and it's so surprising that we have to have instructions on the mirror when you go into the bathroom. But just do it. It'll save you a lot of heartache, and that'll be a way to protect yourself. But then also keep yourself balanced. I heard some things are going on in our county, in our region. And we need the Christians to be the most balanced ones in our region so that we could be that testimony, especially on Election Day. All right? So just be in prayer. God knows. He's in control. But do your job as God has allowed to give us the freedom to be able to vote. All right? So that's my spiel. And we've got plenty of other announcements here. One thing that I want to congratulate is that we have Dr. and Mrs. Olin Strader with us here this morning. And they just got married a couple weeks ago. Praise the Lord. Our newlyweds. So thank you for coming and visiting with us. And it's awesome to be able to have you with us here this morning. Also, we do have choir practice today at 5. We have our evening service at 6. So I trust you'll be able to be there for that. And then we do have our Sunday and Wednesday teachers, educational workers meeting right after the Sunday evening service. So if you're part of that Sunday school, junior church, Wednesday night services, please be there. We'll meet in the fellowship hall. And I'd like to go over some things just as we head forward into the fall here, getting into the Christmas season, woo-hoo, and all kinds of crazy things. So if you could be there, that would be absolutely wonderful. And then coming up this next week, there's lots of things going on. Golden Prayer Warriors on Tuesday, Wednesday, online service at 7 for the midweek service. And then, Lord willing, we'll have youth group from 6:30 to 8. And we'd love to have that again. And so that'll be in the fellowship hall with the teens. And then we have Need to Read. That'll be from 3 to 4:15 on Thursday. And then Financial Peace University will be at 7. Lord willing, we can have that again. And there's been just so many crazy things happening lately. So just be in prayer for all the things that's going on this week. Saturday, Men's Connection at 8:30. You don't know what that is. Men, come in, have some food, some physical food, and some food from the Word of God and fellowship and prayer. And that's so important for the men to be able to have fellowship and to be able to lead in prayer. We need prayer, especially during this time. So in Christmas shoebox packing party at 10 o'clock in the morning on Saturday. And we did really put the pressure on the teens to be there for that. And then afterwards, we were going to try to have some games and stuff for the teens and some food for lunch. So parents, if you have any questions about that, please connect with me and I'll give you some more info. Then we've got several other things coming up. One thing that my wife said to make sure that I mention is the sister-to-sister groups. Those that are the leaders, make sure that your groups know when you're supposed to meet. That is very helpful for those that are trying to come and meet with you. So just let them know, make sure that they know when and where that they need to meet for the sister-to-sister groups. And then Ladies Fellowship is coming up November 9th. And then as far as the shoebox packing party that's going on, it looks like there's going to be some info for those who are coming to receive the shoeboxes from other people in our community, because we are the receiving place for the shoeboxes. So other churches that do the same thing that we do, they bring their boxes here. Individuals, there's one family that asks for like 75 boxes a year. Their family just gets together and does it. It's amazing. But they do it every year and they bring them in. But we need people to be able to man that. And so if you can sign up for that, that would be absolutely wonderful. And Crystal can help you know what to do and when to do it. And there's different times for that. There's evening slots, there's morning slots, afternoon slots. So if you can help out with that, that's out in the lobby area that you can sign up for. And then also we have our Thanksgiving dinner coming up. Yes, I am so looking forward to this. Ben Everson is going to be with us. We're going to have a really good meal that's provided for you. You just need to sign up for it so that they know how many people are coming. Please, that would be absolutely wonderful if you could sign up for that. And then when you do sign up, please come for that. And then eat really well. And then listen to some really good music. Ben does such a wonderful job. And you say, he's only one man. Well, he is one of those guys that he records himself singing all the other different parts. And then it all sings together. He does it. I don't know how I could coordinate something like that, but he does it. That's what he does. All right. So he's coming. And I know that will be a huge blessing to you if you come out for that. There was one thing that I wanted to mention about that, is that while people are in the line, we ask that you in the line to get your food, please wear a mask during that time. We're just asking for that to happen. Just to take those extra precautions and just be safe in the best way that we can know how for getting together for that meal. So I think that's it as far as all the things going on. There is a deacons meeting coming up next Sunday after the evening service. So please, deacons, be ready for that. So it seems that's it. Thank you so much for your prayers this past week. And just going to Michigan and coming back, God just... He did a wonderful job, as we know that he does, and it was a good funeral. Just to be able to say, see you soon, to a precious friend of ours. And so just be in prayer for them. We got notice that another member of the church that hadn't been there for very long passed away the day after we left. And so just be in prayer for them as well, as I know a lot of churches are just having different, all kinds of various reasons of people passing away. So just be in prayer for them as well during this time. Thank you so much, Jason.
Right. Please stand with me this morning as we sing Soldiers of Christ Arise.
word of prayer. Father in heaven, God, thank you that as we march on every day, just in our daily lives, the spiritual battles that we face, that you are on before us. In fact, you're already there in tomorrow waiting for us to catch up. We thank you, Lord, for who you are. And as we worship you today, God, I pray that our worship would be sincere and from our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.
You may be seated as we sing Higher Ground.
Who would have thought that a lamb could rescue the souls of men? Oh, you rescue the souls of men. Counselor, comforter, keeper, Spirit we long to embrace. You offer hope when our hearts have hopelessly lost our way. Oh, we've hopelessly lost the way. You are the one we praise. You are the one we adore. You give the healing and grace our hearts always hunger for. Oh, our hearts always hunger for. mighty infinite Father, faithfully loving your own. Here in our weakness you find us, falling before your throne. Oh, we're falling before your throne. You are the one that we praise. You are the one we adore. You give the healing and grace our hearts always hunger for. Oh, our hearts always hunger for. You are the one that we praise. You are the one we adore. You give the healing and grace our hearts always hunger for. Oh, our hearts always hunger for.
Thank you so much, Joe, and you for participating in our singing portion of worship this morning. If you would, take your Bibles out. We're going to do something that we haven't done in a while. It's been a while since we've looked at any of the Psalms that we find in the Bible. So this morning, I'm going to go back to where I had left off some time ago when we were going through the Psalms, chapter by chapter, so to speak. And we're just going to pick up where we left off. It happens to be Psalm chapter 20. So please turn there. Shakespeare's play, he wrote Henry IV. In that play, there's a line in it that the character portraying Henry, or King Henry, he declares this: uneasiness lies the head that wears a crown. Now, that line, I think, reveals a fact about leaders. Heads of state, business owners, pastors, leaders of organizations, they all carry serious responsibilities and, along with that, heavy burdens. What they do, what they declare, what they decide can impact the lives of the people that they lead. Most, maybe all of them, face constant criticism. God's word commands God's people to be different. God's word commands God's people to honor their leaders, pray for them, support them in their efforts to do what is right. I'll add that onto the end there. So look with me in Psalm chapter 20 as we look at how to support your leader. Verse 1, it says, "The Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. The name of the God of Jacob defend thee." Well, let's just sit right there on that verse for right now. In our psalm this morning, Israel is facing a serious trouble. It's called there the day of trouble. Someone is speaking here. There's actually three different voices that are speaking in this psalm, which makes it a little unique. I'll get to that in just a moment. But in this first verse, the day of trouble, they're facing something serious. Here's what it is. They're about to go into war. Which war? We don't know. We'll leave that for the scholars to argue about, and maybe they'll come up with an answer that's totally irrelevant anyway, because in my opinion, if it was relevant, God would have told us what war it was, okay? Let's just deal with what God gives us here. Here we find this instruction for Israel before they go into war in Deuteronomy chapter 20. Let's back up so we understand what's about to take place in Psalm 20. In Deuteronomy 20, verse 1, God gives them this instruction: when thou goest out to battle against thine enemies and seest horses and chariots and a people more than thou, be not afraid of them. For the Lord thy God is with thee, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. Verse 2, and it shall be when ye are come nigh unto the battle, that the priest shall approach and speak unto the people. Verse 3, and shall say unto them, hear, O Israel, ye approach this day unto battle against your enemies. Let not your hearts faint. Fear not, do not tremble, neither be ye terrified because of them. For the Lord your God is he that goeth with you to fight for you against your enemies to save you. Okay, we'll stop reading that passage in Deuteronomy 20 right there. What's taking place here? God is commanding, God's law commanded the people before they went into war to gather together and to be exhorted by Israel's priest at that time. That's what's taking place in Psalm 20. What God had already commanded them to do, they were observing that. And now Psalm 20 records that particular moment for us. It's more than just a prayer of David, like many of the Psalms are. We can read those and we read David lamenting some problems that he has. And then he remembers how good God is. And the psalm ends with him praising God. This one is so very different. It's a recording of an interchange between the people, Israel, David, and also God is speaking in this psalm. So there's three different voices that we're going to be looking at. It instructs us how to support our leaders in every area of life. Okay, this isn't just a be nice to your pastor sermon. Okay, although if that's what the context was, that's what I would preach. Okay, I hope you know that about me. I just preach what's there. But this truth can be and should be applied to leaders in all areas of our life. So number one, pray for your leader. Our first instruction here, pray for your leader. Let's continue reading in Psalm 20, verse 2. Send thee help from the sanctuary. Strengthen thee out of Zion. Remember all thy burnt offerings. Accept thy burnt sacrifice, Selah. Grant thee according to thine own heart and fulfill all thy counsel. Okay, so what's going on here? We started off with verse 1, and now we've gone through verse 4. The first voice that's speaking is actually the voices of the people. They are praying this, so to speak. They are speaking these words. They're lifting up their leader to the Lord. You can go back and look through those again. In fact, let me go ahead and start with verse 1 again. The voice of the people of Israel are speaking. The Lord, hear thee. Who's thee? David. So they're speaking. They're saying, David, may God hear thee in this day of trouble. The name of the God of Jacob, defend thee, David, their leader. Send thee, God, send thee, you, David, help from the sanctuary and strengthen you, our leader, out of Zion. Remember all of your burnt offerings and that God would accept your burnt sacrifice and that God would grant you, David, our leader, according to your own heart and fulfill all thy counsel. Here's specifically what the folks are praying for their leader, that God would hear his cry, first of all. Now, a presumption is being made here. I don't know if you would pick up on this, if I may point it out. The people are literally praying, David, we're praying that God would hear your cry. The presumption being made here is that their leader actually would be crying to God, praying. It's an assumption that they're making, that their leader would be actually be praying and asking for God's favor and for God's strength and for God's assistance. Sadly, many people only pray when they're in trouble. Would you agree with that? Sometimes that might describe us too. We pray more when we're in trouble than when things are going well. But David was a man after God's own heart. That's what God called him. He was a godly leader. Not perfect, okay? We have to throw that in there. He was not perfect. And we could spend time recounting his issues that are recorded for us in God's word. But he was a godly leader, even though he wasn't perfect. And I think that's important to designate so that we aren't tempted to not support our leader because they're not perfect. Show me a perfect leader. I already know his name, Jesus Christ. And it's the only one that's ever been on this earth. Every other one has been imperfect. Show me a perfect presidential candidate, and I'll show you someone that's good at hiding something. It doesn't exist. And if you're only going to vote for the perfect presidential candidate, turn in your voter registration card now, because it ain't going to happen. It doesn't exist. And here they are praying for their leader, who they know is already praying to God. There is a spiritual element, obviously, to their leader, okay? And they're praying that God would hear his cry. He wasn't godly, he wasn't perfect, but he was a man that was wanting to pursue God. That must have been reassuring for these folks. To know that their leader would be seeking God's counsel and not the counsel of special interests. And I'm not just talking the political realm either. Every leader has special interests around them, okay? In a church, obviously that can take place. In our workplace, obviously that can take place. Could that take place in our home? The leader has special interests around them? Oh, yeah. I come from a family of six kids, okay? The oldest one, we all dubbed her the perfect one. Because she like never got in trouble. Anything she wanted to do, mom and dad would say, yep, If we even thought about asking to do the same thing, we wouldn't even have to speak it. We're thinking it, they look at us and say, no. Boom, done, just like that. This had to have been so reassuring for them to know that they had a leader that was at least seeking God. And the people were asking God to give David his full attention to every word that David would plead on their behalf, and that God would answer David. They also prayed this, that God would protect him. There's a reference here in this psalm to the God of Jacob. Do you remember seeing that on the screen? It doesn't just say God, the God of Jacob. In Genesis chapter 35 and verse 3, we find this. And let us arise and go up to Bethel, and I will make there an altar unto God, who answered me in the day of my distress. This is Jacob speaking these words. He's recounting how God answered him in the day of his distress. God protected him. And now the people of Israel are making reference to this same God of Jacob, this God of protection. They were asking that God would be faithful to David, just as he had been to Jacob in his troubling times. They also prayed that God would accept his worship. Now, I want to point something out here. They prayed that God would accept all of David's offerings. Not just his one that he was going to be offering before they go into battle. It's kind of like the praying. They knew David prayed, and they prayed that God would accept his prayers. And here it is with the offerings. He offered often. This wasn't just, okay, I'm on the campaign trail. Better grab my Bible and let the camera see me go into a church on Sunday. This was a way of life for him, worshiping. It wasn't just, oh, I'm in trouble, I need to pray. He prayed all the time. He worshiped God as a way of life. It wasn't just an occasional thing for him. So they were praying that God would accept all of his offerings. He was a regular worshiper of God, faithfully devoted to him. The next one found in verse 4, it can be kind of scary, the next thing that they prayed for. It said there, grant thee according to thine own heart and fulfill all thy counsel. Whoa. Do you hear what they're asking God to do? They're saying, God, remember, they're talking to God, not David. God, we want you to do whatever David wants to do. Let him do it. Make it happen. Can you think of any politician right now that you would pray that for? Oh my, that's why I said, whoa, this is kind of scary. What are they doing? They're actually asking God just whatever his heart comes up with, do it. Whatever he wants to do, we want you to do it for him. Yikes. They're literally praying that God would give him whatever he asks for. But wait a minute. He was a man after God's own heart. He was a man that prayed. He was a man that offered sacrifices regularly. It was a way of living, worshiping God. They knew this man, even though he wasn't perfect. They knew him. They could trust him. His heart was a heart that sought God. They had no worries. David wasn't a leader that sought for his own glory. It didn't matter if he looked good or not. It didn't matter if someone else got the credit for what he did. It just didn't matter. He wasn't in it for him to make himself look good. It was all about God. The people knew this. His interests were only, what does God want? I think a godly leader has that point of view. If God's done with me today, then I'm done. Whatever God wants me to do, that's what we're going to do. If God doesn't want us doing that, we're not going to do that. It's all about God, basically. Even in battles, we see David practicing this. He never went after other nations just to increase the size of his empire. Never. He went after those that were enemies of God. But he never did it just to grow his empire and to get more slaves for his people. His efforts were focused on the good of Israel. Folks, as believers, we are responsible to pray for our leaders. For our politicians, yes. God loves them and wants them, if they're not saved, God wants them to be believers, so we should pray for their salvation. I mean, think about the logic of this, okay? Having come from a sales background, I want to sell Pastor Taylor this product that I have in my arsenal. It's my job to convince him that he needs this. Cost doesn't matter. 6 months, 6 years, 0% interest. Forget what Dave Ramsey says, okay? I'm going to convince him that he needs this product. And I'm befriending him, and I'm liking him, and I'm trying to convince him of this. But every time he's not around, I am slamming him on Facebook. I am bashing him here. I am criticizing everything he says and does. Do you see how that's counterproductive? Folks, the leaders, the political leaders that we have that we don't like, or that we don't like what they do and what they stand for, and we don't like the decisions they make because they don't line up with God's word, those political leaders, how can we pray for them when we're cutting them down every time we turn around and complaining and murmuring about them? Is God going to answer? The best thing that will change that leader and make them follow God's word in their decision making is not our insults. The best thing is for them to give their heart and life to Jesus Christ. Because you know what happened to me when I did that? God changed me. There's that song, "The things I used to do, I don't do them anymore." How about this? "The things I used to say, I don't say them anymore. There's been a great change since I've been born again." That's the kind of change that we as Christians should be focused on. Criticizing, murmuring, posting doesn't bring about that change. Jesus Christ does. And that's how we should be praying for them. We should pray for all leaders, folks. Not just our governmental leaders, but our leaders at work. The boss, okay? Our leaders at church. And our leaders at home. I told you, we could apply this in all areas. Young people, instead of complaining about your parents, pray for them. It won't do any good. Doesn't matter. Why should I pray for them? God said, pray for your leaders. Ladies, men, instead of griping and complaining about how inept your spouse is, pray for them. "Well, I've been trying to get them to do this for the last 37 years and ain't working. Why should I do this?" God said to. That's all. When our time on, listen, husbands and wives, when our time on earth ends here, okay, and we go to heaven. Now, for some of you, this may bring great joy. For others, this may sadden you. When we get to heaven, we'll not be married. I'm looking to see who's smiling right now at that. We won't be married in heaven. And for the rest of our lives, the rest of eternity, okay, what we do here on earth is going to impact all of our eternity. So why should I obey God's word with this person in my house when it never does any good? Because God said to do it. And I am going to stand before God when I'm in eternity and give an answer for what I did and didn't do, not how they responded. And we all, as husbands and wives, need to determine and make the decision. It doesn't matter what they do as a result. I'm going to do what God tells me to do, period. And the rest is up to him. Romans chapter 13 and verse 1 says, "Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. There is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God." The powers, let's back up to verse 1. I'm going to take a rabbit trail here. Are you ready? Boing, 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 boing. Here we go. Bunny ears bouncing off the trail. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what's going on in Springfield and how opposed to God's word they may be. The power that they have, God gave that to them. The Jews in the first century, God told them, submit to Rome. That's when this was written. That's what we have to do. Verse 2, "Whosoever therefore resisteth the power," doesn't do verse 1, They're resisting the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. Whoa. That verse is not written to unsaved people. Imagine God using a word, damnation, in connection with Christians. We don't have the time, and I didn't take the time to study out what exactly theologically that's talking about, but I know it's probably not a good thing. And if we don't do verse 1, we put ourselves in the position to receive damnation, whatever that entails. It's not a good thing. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1, it says, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, and intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. For kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Folks, the most valuable service that we could offer our leaders is to faithfully uphold them before the Lord. No matter what side of the aisle they're on, no matter what side of the bed they sleep on, no matter where their office is at work, failure to do that, what we've just looked at, is committing a sin of omission. The second way to support our leader, encourage your leader in the Lord. Let's talk about that. After praying verse 4, the people expressed their confidence in the leader. Let me tell you, this gives a leader confidence to move forward when the people they lead express their confidence in them. Look with me at verse 5. It says, we will rejoice in thy salvation, and in the name of our God, we will set up our banners. Now, there's no doubters here. Okay? How many of you know who you're going to vote for this next week? If you've already voted, how many of you know who you're going to vote for again next week? Just a little joke. All right. How many of you, well, don't raise your hand, but there's people that aren't sure, right? And if you drive by their house, you're not going to see any banners in their front yard because they're just not sure. Those that are dead sure who they're voting for, if they're not opposed to banners being in the yard, they've got signs in the yard. This is who I'm voting for. This is my guy or girl or whatever the case is. We can do this, is what the people are saying here in verse 5. They were anticipating rejoicing at the end of the battle. They were expressing, by the way, rejoicing. Okay, rejoicing. Should we not rejoice as Christians? Do you know what rejoicing means? Rejoicing means expressing joy loudly. That's what it means. Oh, rejoice in the Lord he makes. Oh, no. That is not rejoice, folks. That is not rejoice at all. Expressing joy loudly, singing. Okay. When we get to heaven, do you think we're going to be rejoicing in heaven? Absolutely. And I'm looking forward to hearing some people sing that I don't think have ever sung a day in their lives. Because you will be rejoicing then, okay? And shouting for joy. Woo! Some people are really going to have to crawl out of their skin for that. Oh, wait a minute. In heaven, they will be out of their skin. Glorified bodies. These folks, as they were praying this for their leader, they were confident. They were supportive of their leader, even though he wasn't perfect. They were encouraging their leader. Now, how does that benefit them? As I mentioned just before, or just as I started this point, when those that someone is leading takes this approach in supporting them, it makes them more confident. Is it not a good idea to have a confident leader? Absolutely. It is in our best interest to support and encourage those that are in leadership positions in our life. There is no doubters here. Folks, let me just say this. And those of you that are in a position of leadership, you know this. Leaders need encouragement. And this is especially true within the church. I'm not speaking just for myself and Pastor Taylor, but all of those that are in leadership positions. Because there's always someone that thinks something's being done wrong. And they generally don't go to the person that's in the leadership position. Discouragement has led to many men leaving the ministry. I was surprised at a survey I read one time dealing with just pastors. The number of pastors that battle depression. What really disturbed me is the number of pastors in this survey that actually answered they have considered suicide. Now, not only has discouragement led to many leaving the ministry, it can be worse. Murmuring, discord, gossiping, none of that is enabling your leader to be a better leader. Whether it's here in church or in your workplace or even at home. How many of you that have people under you have ever been complained into being a better leader? Oh, these people, they murmured me and made me a better man. It just doesn't happen. That, because it is a tool of Satan, Satan's tools don't build up, they destroy. That tool tears leaders down. Be a Barnabas that we read about in the New Testament. His name meant the son of encouragement. That's what the disciples called him because of what he did. He was such an encourager. They said, well, we're just going to call you son of encourager, Barnabas. Every leader needs a Barnabas, whether it's at church or even in our homes. People who will just lift their spirits. All of us should resolve to encourage our leaders in all levels of life, in every way possible. I wonder, for example, our politicians, our local politicians. There are those we agree with, and there are those that we disagree with. Those that we disagree with, how often have we ever sent them an encouragement? Be an encourager. No, speak out doesn't count. By the way, I've never seen an encouragement in Speak Out ever. Everything you read in Speak Out is sin, by the way. Yeah, I'm just going to say that in case any of you ever or have used it. Shame on you. Put your name on it. Instead of hiding behind anonymity, speaking a criticism and a cut down when God's word says we are to edify with our speech. That's just wrong. Okay, and wrong is sin. Sin is wrong. All sin is sin, right? So what would be the difference between reading this sin? Oh, I just read it for the entertainment. Ooh, did you see what they said? Ooh, that was a good one. And we secretly agree with that, what they're saying. But what about other printed material that's sinful? Well, that's sinful. We shouldn't read it. So's this. Just a thought to think about. Let's look at a third way to support our leaders. Know that God alone saves his anointed leader. We have to know that. We have to believe that. The voice of these words is the voice of King David now. It's shifting to a second voice in Psalm 20, verse 6. Now know I that the Lord saveth his anointed. He will hear him from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. Notice the change of the pronouns in this verse from we to I. It's David speaking now. Their encouragement in the first five verses strengthened him. And now listen to him speaking with confidence. He spoke a declaration of faith in God as his dependency on God for victory. David stated, he made this bold statement here. He said, we're going to return from this day of battle victorious. Now, how does he know that? Obviously, he doesn't, but he's speaking with confidence because of his faith in God. How could he know that? How could he make such a bold statement? It's because he remembered God's promise to him years before. God had made a covenant with David. God had made a covenant with David, and God could not, would not fail in keeping his word to David. Folks, listen, now here's how this applies to us. When we have faith in God's promises, key word there is faith. Not just we repeat God's promises and have God's promises printed on our walls in our homes and little sayings here and there. But when we have faith in God's promises, not just repeat them or post them, but actually believe God's promises, the result is peace, which we are sorely lacking in this world right now. Within the Christian community, there's a certain level of no peace. Folks, we need to go to God's promises. Yeah, I've heard this come up a little bit at different times over the last several months. Oh no, is this the end times? And there's talk about this chip that can be put into your hand, and they've figured out a way where that chip can actually transmit. In order to transmit, it has to have an energy source. You can't change batteries. But they figured out a way where the difference between hot and cold, that temperature variation would actually recharge the battery of this chip, so to speak. And the best, the area on our bodies where there is the greatest extremes of hot and cold is, guess where? The place where there's less tissue between the skin and the bone. That's right here and right here. Oh no, the mark of the beast. Don't get the chip. Whatever you do, don't get the chip. You'll go straight to hell if you get that chip. Now, wait a minute. Let's look at what God's word says. If that is what it is, if the end of times are coming and we're going to enter the tribulation and everything's going to fall apart in the one world government, that's okay. I'm not going to be here anyway. So why am I going to lose any sleep over what's happening and what might happen next year? I'm not going to be here. According to what God's word says, he'll take me out before that time starts. So in a sense, shouldn't we be investors in that chip technology? Bring it on quicker, right? The sooner all that stuff gets into place, the sooner we get out of here. I don't know. It is God's power that saves us. David knew that. He knew it was going to be God's power that saved him. David, and think about it, David was a warrior. He was a strategist when it came to battle, but he did not depend on his skills. As a leader, he recognized it's all about God's power working through me, okay? And he acknowledges that victory comes from God. That same peace that resided in David's heart can be in ours today, folks. It can be in yours. The world is in turmoil. Our country is a mess. Things are uncertain. 4 days from now, who knows what could be going on in our country? Wow. That uncertain. They are not Certainly, they are not as we would like them to be. Probably a good way to summarize it. But can I share this passage with you? Philippians 4:6, it says, be careful, be anxious, don't worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Whatever it is, trials, difficulties, relationship problems, illness, depression, guilt, financial needs, weakness, slander, whatever it is, if we will give our cares to God in prayer, He promises, it's a promise of God, He promises His peace will saturate our hearts. The same God that beat death, think about this, the same God that beat death, that saved us, somehow He was able to forgive all of my sins when I was 19. And when He did that, He did it some 2,000 years before I was 19. And when He did that, He also took care of all the sins I was going to commit after 19 until today, and even the ones tomorrow and next week, although I'm not planning any, you know. That same God that could do all of that, that same God, whatever it is, He says, bring it to me. I got it. 1 Peter chapter 1, it says that we are kept by His power, and His power is beyond our comprehension, the Bible tells us. That power. So what am I worried about? Really? If all of my people don't get elected next week, don't call the church Tuesday or Wednesday because I won't be here. I have a secret camper stashed out in the woods. Okay. You won't find it because for the last 6 months I've been going out there in the evenings and digging a tunnel where I buried this camper. Okay. And there's a secret access to it. You won't find me. I've covered it with this material that thermal imaging won't even see me underground there. Because that's where I'm going because the world is coming to an end. No, it's not. God is still in control of this world, folks. Okay? What's to worry about? It doesn't matter how much special interest power gets elected next week on either side. It doesn't matter because God's power is greater than all of it. Read Psalms where it says he laughs at the kings of this earth. He laughs at them. They think there's something. Watch this. They're gone. He puts them in place. He removes them. That's our power of our king, of our dad. My dad's bigger than your dad. You know, you ever done that before? Oh, yeah. Well, my dad can do this. Well, my dad could take on all y'all's dad. Okay. That's God. So we have to immerse every battle in prayer. Believe in and not just believe in. There's a difference here. Okay. It may sound like the same thing, but there's a difference. We need to believe in and stand on the promises. If we were at the park for an afternoon service and we're talking about issues of the day with the upcoming elections and a reporter, a TV crew shows up that, you know, the cute little girl with the microphone comes out. She's going to go around and talk to everybody and ask them, why are you here today and why do you believe what you do? And you hear her ask someone that. And then she moves on to the next person, and you realize she's going to ask every single one of you that question. How many of us would kind of slink away, make our way to the car, and get out of there before she gets to us? Just a minute ago, we were waving our signs Saying in agreement, amen, that's right, God believes, that's what God says, yes. But then we don't stand on it. There's a difference between believing and standing. And today, folks, today is a time in this world's history where Christians need to stand and not slink away into the shadows. We need to stand on the promises of God. We need to immerse ourselves in Scripture because that's where our confidence is going to come from. We need to immerse ourselves in Scripture because of the time that we live in and the need for Christians to stand. We need to immerse ourselves in Scripture. I believe it's time that we as Christians stop taking 5-minute devotional dips in the water and get serious about knowing God. Because for many of us, we've taken 5-minute devotional dips every day. We've been so faithful. And yet if the reporter came around, we would not stand. We would slink away. We need to know and stand on what we believe. Romans chapter 15 and verse 13, it says, "Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost." Leave that verse up there. Look at that verse. The God of hope fill you with hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Is there any room in there for us to be concerned about the elections this week? I don't see it. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20. "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or even think, according to the power that worketh in us." Folks, we have no reason to not be hopeful that God is going to remain on the throne no matter what happens this week. The fourth way to support our leaders: trust God for deliverance. Let's look at verse 7 and 8, chapter 20 of Psalms. "Some trust in chariots, some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. They are brought down and fallen, but we are risen and stand upright." Some trusted, it said, in chariots and horses. Some people trust in money. Some people trust in the politicians. Some people trust in just getting one more on the Supreme Court, and that's going to make the world all better. Not. Not going to happen. Just getting our guy in office for 4 more years. Whoo! Until the 4 years is up. And then we're going to be back at square one again. The answer is changed hearts. The answer is the one who could change hearts. That's God. You know, it would be cool to see an election where there's two Christians battling over who's the better one. Could that happen? Yeah. God could change their hearts. And what would that look like? Based on how we normally view a political debate, okay? Well, forget the first one we had this year, the presidential debate. Ah, not good. But two Christian people, godly, wanting to honor God with their campaign, and they have a disagreement over an issue. And each one's trying to be humble and submissive to the other one. Wow, I can't even imagine what that would look like. But it could happen. Doesn't matter who's running. We need to trust God for our deliverance. With God, not even the mightiest of anything can stand. Consider this verse, Deuteronomy 20, verse 1. "When thou goest out to battle against thine enemies and seest horses and chariots and a people more than thou, and they've got the media behind them and all the special interests and all the money, be not afraid of them. For the Lord thy God is with thee, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt." God is the one who defeats our enemies and empowers us to stand firm. The followers, as followers of Christ, we are constantly in spiritual warfare. Ephesians tells us that. We cannot conquer our enemies with might, with money, with votes, but only through spiritual weapons. We have two. God gives us two spiritual weapons. Do you know what they are? Ephesians 6 declares them for us. The Bible, prayer. As Christians, those are our only weapons while we're in Satan's world. The Bible and prayer. Is it any wonder surveys over and over and over and over again show the majority of Christians don't pray regularly and don't read their Bible regularly? Satan's good. He gets us not using our weapons and we're of no threat to him. Our only two weapons, the Bible and prayer. Do you know how to use them? Do you use them? Folks, there are only weapons that will do any good. The world, Satan, cannot prevail against these two weapons. They can't. They are powerless when it comes to those two weapons. In Romans 8, we are told that through him, through Christ, we are more than conquerors. So next Wednesday, regardless of how it turns out, don't be walking around all defeated looking. Because we still win. Consider the type of leader David was. He prayed. He worshiped God publicly. He sought the counsel of others and God. He believed God's word. He spoke in faith, not doubt. He recognized his responsibility to God's word. He recognized his responsibility to God in order to lead. He was dependent on God rather than his own power and abilities. And then notice what he did in verse 7. He led the people to trust God. All leaders need to learn this. Saved individuals that are in government, yes, they need to learn this. Business leaders, yes, they need to lead people to trust in God. People in management positions need to lead people under them to trust in God. Pastors, well, duh, yes. We need to lead people to trust in God. Dads, yes. Dads need to lead people in their home to trust in God. A leader such as the one I just described in David, a leader like that, people follow that kind of a leader. We need to strive to be that kind of a leader. We all have people that we lead in some capacity or other. So our question is, are they following us? And if they are following us, where are we leading them? Let's bow our heads, please. Heavenly Father, God, as we close our time here this morning, having looked at Psalm 20 and these amazing thoughts and challenges as far as supporting our leaders, God, I pray that it would convict our heart as to what level of support we give the leaders in our life right now. But that it would also challenge us to be the type of leader that we need to be. God, as Christians, help us to ultimately have hope and confidence in you, our ultimate leader. and trust in that and to stand on your word. God, help us to begin to be familiar with our weapons of the Bible and prayer. Spend time getting to know them and use them. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand, please, with our hands.